I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming.
Oh man, all of this talk and you know, just hearing Jill's heart, it's really shifted my focus this morning. And I want to read something from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. I love this passage and the contrast that I'm about to make, and especially in regards to when it comes to just obeying the Lord. There we are, Jeremiah 1, beginning with verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb, and I set you apart before you were born, and appointed you a prophet to the nations. I'm just going to stop right there. If God's word would come to me in that capacity, right? Before you were formed in the womb, I set you apart, I chose you, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That's a pretty big call. That's a pretty powerful calling, a weightiness that would be upon me. And I'm not sure exactly how I would respond to that. Like, you know, you want me to do this. But when I read the next verse, in verse 6, Jeremiah's response, who wrote, "But I protested, oh no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth." That very well could have been me. Like, not knowing what to do with this immense calling that God has just placed on my life. And all of a sudden you're thinking like, no, there's got to be somebody else. Like, there's got to be somebody better than me who can go. And so I would protest. I don't know. I mean, I hope I wouldn't, but maybe I would. I look at that response and I see that's perfectly natural response, humanly speaking. Like, no, like, somebody else, God. I don't know how to do this. And so we see Jeremiah making these excuses. He's saying, you know, I'm only a youth, I'm only young. I'm, you know, and then God goes on in verse 7, he said, "But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to rescue you." This is the Lord's declaration. I've given you a message, I've given you a voice, and you're going to go to these people and you're going to speak to them. And if we look at that, friends, and we know that that was a specific calling to Jeremiah, but generally looking at that in a general sense, like that calling, that mandate actually falls to every single one of us. That we would go to the people that God sends us to. And whether we're going to chat because he's sending us to those people, or whether we're going next door to our neighbors because God's sending us to those people, or to coworkers because God's sending us to those people, either way, we have this calling on our life to be obedient to the word of God, that when he sends us, we would respond without making excuses. And my heart this morning is like, I don't want to make excuses for being obedient to the Lord. I don't want to make excuses on a personal level to say like, well, okay, God, this is why I don't want to go in this direction. I feel inadequate. There's got to be somebody else. You got to have another plan. And then as a church, I don't want to be a church that makes excuses as to why we won't follow through on our obedience to the word of God to be the church that God has called us to be, and which is a sending church, friends, a sending church. There's a little cliche saying, you've probably heard it, right? You don't measure the success of a church by its seating capacity, but rather by its sending capacity. Who are we sending? I mean, in theory, on a weekly basis, we're sending every single one of you out. Every Sunday, when you leave here, we're sending you out into the communities. We're sending you out as a testimony to God's grace, as a witness for Jesus. Now, whether or not you're stepping out and living in that sending and that calling, okay, that's another story, but in theory we're sending you. You know, and I want to be a church that sends, and I want to be a church that isn't afraid of the harvest fields. He just says the harvest is plentiful. The fields are ripe. It's, but the workers are few. The workers are few. Who are the workers? you and me, we're the workers in God's kingdom. That's us. That's what we're called to do. And you know, and just this last week, I was actually kind of reflecting on as Christians. So this is what led into my thought. I feel like maybe I should give you some context. I was thinking, in fact, it was actually when I was thinking about what I was going to wear today, okay? And so I guess most of my thoughts formulated yesterday, last night. I'll pull out for Sunday morning what I'm going to wear the next day. And I had this thought come to my head. I remember somebody telling me, a pastor friend, that a lady in the church had come up to him afterwards who didn't approve of what he was wearing and told him, "You look like you're ready to go mow the lawn rather than to preach the gospel." So my thoughts lead and they go, and I was thinking, you know, well, what in Scripture actually what kind of attire is painted for us as believers? Like, what should we be wearing? And the first Scripture that came to my mind was the one I'm referencing right now about working the fields. Like, what do you do when you work the fields? What do you wear when you work the fields? I mean, you don't get all dressed up and go out into the fields, do you? No, you put on your work clothes. You get ready to go. Other images that were given in Scripture about running a race. Paul talks about walking with Christ like running a race. What do you wear when you run a race? Do you put on your best-looking shoes and your high heels and all the fancy stuff? Like, no. You dress accordingly. You dress appropriately to get out there on the racetrack and to give it your all so you could function at full capacity. Paul also talks about fighting the good fight of faith. Like, if you know you're stepping into the ring and you're gonna engage in a fight, you dress accordingly. You dress appropriately because of what you're about to do. And I was just thinking, like, you know, how this is, now sometimes our understanding of who we are as a church is just completely warped and backwards and upside down. No, we are a people who are called to work the fields. We are a people who are called to get hands dirty, whether it's in the soil of Chad or in the soil of Cottonwood Creek. That's what we're called to do. And so contrasting Jeremiah's call with Isaiah's call from Isaiah chapter 6, there's a difference here. And I want to read this encounter that Isaiah has. He says in verse 1 of chapter 6, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. And seraphim were standing above him. They each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their eyes, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. His glory fills the whole earth.' And the foundations of the doorway shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. And then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies.' And the one of the seraphim flew to me, and his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth and with it and said, 'Now that this has touched your lips, your iniquity is removed and your sin is atoned for.' And then I heard the voice of the Lord asking, 'Who should I send? Who will go for us?' And Isaiah responded with the famous line, 'Here I am, send me.'" And I'm just kind of wondering, like, what was the difference between Jeremiah's response and Isaiah's response? Why did Isaiah respond the way he did and Jeremiah respond the way he did? And while I probably don't know the exact answer to that, but I do know that one of the reasons that Isaiah probably responded the way he did is because when you spend time in the presence of God, you have a much more willing heart to say, "Yes, here I am, send me," than you are if you don't spend time in the presence of God. If you don't encounter God in incredible, in his presence in a powerful way. Without that in our life, it's so much easier to come up with excuses. "No, God, I'm too young for this." Remember Moses? Moses said, "I can't speak. I stutter." You know, he wanted God to send somebody else as well. I don't want to be an individual of excuses. I don't want us to be a church of excuses. And so I believe like the application I'm pushing for right now is if we're going to be a church and a people that responds willingly and passionately to the call of God, it's because we're going to be a people that spends time in his presence through prayer, through the study of his word, through worshiping individually, worshiping collectively. We're going to be a people who walks with Christ arm in arm, side by side, so that when the call comes, and he says, who's going to go for me? We're not going to be like, that person looks good over there. Let's pray for that person. Let's identify them. Or to somehow say, well, because we got Jill going for us, that we're good. I don't need to go because Jill's going. Like, no, that's not it, friends. Each of us will answer to the Lord himself for this call. And so, I don't know, those were just a couple thoughts on my mind. I really felt not go in the direction of my message this morning. We'll revisit that next week. But I didn't want to detract from actually what Jill was speaking up here. I didn't want to take away from that. I wanted us to leave with this on our hearts. It's so important to walk away with what God is doing here in our church family, especially specifically in the area of missions. I still would like, she just left, didn't she? Laura, can you hear me? There's a speaker out there. There's a song we were going to close with, and I think it's still an appropriate song. I love this song, and it's, you probably know it, I Surrender All. I Surrender All. And what a fitting song just to close out everything that we've been talking about this morning. And I'd love to close with that if we're able to.